Intro.
The intro music slowly starts.
I used to do drugs.
Oh yeah, we have a show.
And I still do. Yeah, we have a show. But I used to too. It's just random nonsense babbling.
Your mother.
Welcome to the Relative Rewind.
Good evening, which is what you say in the evening. This is Cameron, and this is Relative Rewind. And the relative related to me, who helps me rewind, is also here. Say hello to
Kevin.
Oh, thank
you, thank you. You're too kind. You're too kind.
I am. Please tell me more about how too kind I am.
Well, I've known you your whole life, and you've been nothing but generous, and you definitely love soda. That's like above anything. Just soda.
Well, this is sparkling water, but yeah, well, this is what got me off of soda, people. I know it's more of an audio medium, but for those of you who moved from diet soda to, or pop to, as we say in the great state of Michigan, which is where we're both from, pop.
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
Where my seltzer heads at.
South, you say soda. Although, what's that one state that always says, what kind of Pepsi do you want?
I don't know what state that is. I know in Texas, someone I knew in Texas always said that they always said Coke for every soda. And then they didn't say Diet Coke, but when they wanted a diet, they just said, like, I'd like a diet. And then a Coke was, like, just the general term for it. So, like, Coke is used as, like, a general word for, like, soda.
Kind of how you have the Pepsi not as generalized, and then, like you were saying, you get the Coke as generalized. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that there's probably a state that has the Pepsi there. If not, I don't know where Pepsi's headquarters is. I know that Atlanta, Georgia is, the one for Coke.
You can get a lot of Coke in Atlanta, Georgia?
No. That's where Coca-Cola's corporate headquarters are. But I can also maybe not sort of kind of verify that it may also maybe be a place where you can get other stuff, like the thing that you maybe didn't
mention.
So
you can get Coke new recipe and Coke original recipe is what you're saying there.
Yeah, yes. Original recipe. Yep.
And then how far of a drive is it? So if you get your original recipe Coke, how far of a drive is it from Georgia or from Atlanta to, let's see, Louisville, Kentucky?
I don't know. I think it's like, it's got to be at least 10 hours. It says it's about 6 hours.
It's an easy drive, so you can make you a whole meal. You get your original Coke and then drive down the road and get some original recipe. See,
yeah,
there you go.
Original recipe.
That's how you do it, kids. Do or do not take our advice, but I highly suggest that's your own decision. So, you know, use it at your own will. So anyway, I'm Kevin. I don't think we got that far, but we're there.
I mentioned your name, but you didn't mention your name.
I'll have to clarify that, as I such did. Okay, so I guess now we get to the show portion of why we're here. Great cold open, though. We need some sound effects.
So yeah, great cold open.
Well, actually, because I'm not one to hold surprises in for too long, I'll just drop it right now. Tell you about it while I was waiting for you to record tonight. I kind of made an executive decision and reached out. So now we're gonna be the next show that we do, not this one, not this upload that I'm gonna do, but the next show we record. It'll be streaming live on Discord. So
awesome.
It may or may not have video. If it does, it's just going to be basic, nothing special. But hey, one day it'll be good. We got a lot of episodes.
Yeah, we'll throw it out on the interweb announcement happen so people can follow along.
It's going to make it a lot easier. And it'll hopefully, I'm still learning Discord, but hopefully it's a platform where while we're doing it live, we can get comments and kind of feed off of it. I know we can do Twitch, but I'll have to set up an account for that one.
Yeah, well, I use Discord for gaming sometimes, so yeah. I mean, at least for the audio call stuff, you can use it for like MMOs sort of stuff. So it's pretty reliable for audio things, and I don't know about its podcast streaming stuff, but Discord, if you would like to sponsor us or to beer us, brought to you by Heineken, Relative Rewind.
To bring that up. Yep, I'm working on the Beer Us Fund. I've got a website in the works right now. Still kind of putting pictures and links and all that up, but we're going to have to definitely do some pictures for the upcoming live show. I love how all these segues just kind of happen and they're all announcements.
Well, this is like the announcement portion. We just let it flow out and then we get to the actual content of the actual show itself.
So yeah, it's kind of like the sex approach to it where you just let it all flow out. And the best part being, you get your nap afterward, and it's a great nap. Or is it just me being old? I don't know. That can kind of... I do a lot of the work.
Depends on if it's good or not. I mean...
Because it could be exercise, or it could be pleasurable. It could go either way. It definitely could.
Yeah, are we talking about like a super aerobic session, or like a... Two pump chump session.
I'm talking about like just a mild. Maybe did we dent the headboard in the drywall too hard? We should pull it all back and make sure.
I'd say that's probably pretty like a little bit aerobic at the very least. Like
a trampoline
getting your heart rate up.
Use the rebound.
Yeah, yeah. Are you like how profusely are you sweating?
Well, it depends on how shape you are and the ambient temperature. It's all very scientific. We shouldn't get into that right now.
Yeah, that's why you should always have sex in a meat locker. That way you never have to
sweat. You
wouldn't
burn as many calories during sex, though.
Well, you would because you have to keep your body temperature up. And you have to keep your dick hard, which is even harder.
It's just hard all around, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more difficult and literal hard.
Now it's difficult.
Yeah.
Okay, so two... My God, this is going to be a great one.
This episode brought to you by the concept of meat locker erections, now available from Cialis, proud sponsor of Relative
Rewind.
And also, Rewind.
Since we're at it, Carl's Cash for Cum. We can't forget them, located on 318 Main Street in Emmett County. Figure out where. It's up to you. It's kind of a secret. Cash for Cum. The only way they keep you coming back is the cash, or do you keep... coming because I don't know, it's a vicious cycle. I love how the night that we record, it's so close. It's 4th of July weekend. Oh yeah, happy Independence Day and birthday, America. I can't believe it's that already. But anyway, yeah, now they're shooting off fireworks in my neighborhood, so hopefully that doesn't get picked up too good.
I haven't heard any fireworks so far in my neck of the woods.
Is it
but,
literally your neck of the woods? Like, you get like a driveway and it's fine, then woods?
Well, it's maybe my collarbone of the
it's
woods.
Your clavicle?
It's not a whole neck, really. Yeah, it's more like a small portion of part of my neck.
I gotcha. So, I think we should do the recap and then we'll get into episode 37. Kick that off.
All right, so we're on the we are in the midst of the. It's been a while since we recorded. It's
Do
been a while.
Not. Oh my God! That's stained, isn't it? Now I'm gonna go in the corner,
yep.
Off camera, curl into the fetal position with a fresh box of razor blades, and do it in places only I know where and only I can see. That's all that shit is. It's just whiny. I want to hurt myself. Shit. I'm going to have to edit it out anyway. No, I can't because of the conversation.
Or you could cut your life into pieces.
See,
this is your last resort.
I don't want to be like...
Well, suffocation,
what did
no breathing.
Thompson say? Something about...
He said, my name is Hunter S. Thompson, and I've written a few books.
I need to be reminded of that.
Is that what you were thinking of? His declarative statement of who he is and what he did?
I know there was something about he wanted his body to just be thrown into the coffin instead of lowered into it. Like, just put the coffin down there and take his body and be like, yeah, fuck this. It's wasted. Just completely everything you could do. He's like, just fuck it up. Piss on it if you want. I don't give a shit. I'm dead. So, yeah, exactly.
Dead is dead. All right. So Dragon Ball Super, which is the topic of our podcast show episode happen. Last time we left off, we were in the midst of the Vegeta fighting a giant machine in the middle of the universe. Six Champa versus Beerus proxy war. Vegeta had just insulted Majetta and knocked him out of the ring, and so we pick up where Vegeta is about to fight the sixth universe San. Is it Kaba or Kappa? Kaba?
I think it's one of those Kappa. Half circle yeah. and stick letters doubled.
I don't know what the distinction is.
Aren't they? Anyway. It has something. It has something to do with Romans.
Kaba. So he gets to fight it like he and Vegeta are all like, I'm going to fight you. But remember, like, Kaba can't go Super Saiyan. So Vegeta, like, tries to just play with his food, even though he's not going to eat him. Although I wish he would. You know,
we actually do see a big... Well, we see typical Vegeta in this, but we also kind of, it's like, what the hell at the same time? And I love that with Vegeta. You never know, because he's just a silent, well, he's a very outspoken asshole, but you never know what side he's taking.
Right, and that's what I like about this particular episode is that I like this saga so far because it's very condensed in, like, the fighting takes place. They don't draw it out because they're like, we have so many fighters to get through, and a fight doesn't last more than like 2 episodes.
Yeah, it's constant action, and we already saw, like, on our last episode, we saw that Goku already shut down the other universe's Frieza. It's like, no, we ain't doing this. We're cutting the dialogue. Get to the fucking action. It's been 90 seconds, right? We can start swearing. Nah, I don't give a fuck. That's YouTube rules.
Yeah. But I do like in this episode that we get to see Vegeta as rageful thing, but also a little bit of, like, his paternal side come out, too. Like, because he basically scoffs at Kaba asking to teach him to go Super Saiyan. He says, Mr. Vegeta, I would love if you'd tell me how to go Super Saiyan.
He doesn't ask him. He's straight up on his knees, forehead to the ground, begged him. Teach me how to do it. Teach me. And he's like, what it was about Vegeta is he's the only one left who knows anything about true Saiyans and what the race was, what the culture was. And to see someone else who gets a hint of it is better than what he got out of Goku. Goku was all Earth culture and stuff like that. Here's an actual Saiyan who kind of gets the thing. He's kind of, you know, an era behind, but the, you know, Vegeta can shape the future of this other universe's Saiyans. Something like that.
Yeah, and we have to, like, the show does a kind of okay job telling us that the Saiyans are like the Green Lantern Corps in Universe 6, because Goku and Vegeta are from Universe 7, right? And yeah, so Universe 6, they're like intergalactic protectors, these honorable, like, humanitarian sort of UN kind of motherfuckers. So, like, the idea of when Vegeta, like, gets the upper hand because, like, Kaba can't fight worth shit to start with, he's like, I'm going to go, like, he has him, what is it, by the hair or whatever, and he's like, I'm going to kill everyone on your planet, and then I'm going to kill all of your family one by one, slowly. And then that gets Kaba to get really angry and can actually go Super Saiyan, even though he's never seen it before on his planet before he came into contact with Goku and Vegeta.
Did you get the kind of earlier, well, just before all that happened, the funniest, well, the dumbest joke, but it's still kind of funny, based on conversations we've had before we've been recording, leave it to deadass Yamcha that Kappa, whatever his name is, that he's a Saiyan. Where's he been? La La Land? More likely fucking dead in Otherworld, curled up in that fucking fetal position as always. Seriously, where has
Yamcha
he
got
been?
Hit by a car.
Like, mentally, where has he been? I know he's been off camera for like four episodes, but what's he been doing?
Oh, he
did.
He came
been
with
there
them,
the whole
didn't
time,
he?
But they haven't shown him like once. He hasn't had any kind of dialogue, and the only one he gets is fucking stupid. Typical Yamcha. You're better off. Just curl up, dude. Just curl up.
He's like, remember when we took Goku's tail off when he was a kid? That was crazy.
Where's this man? Like, I used to be able to roll around with Goku. Hey. Remember that when I was relevant? And oh, shit, I died. How many times, Tien? Fuck, Chiaotzu, you're a ghost. I see why.
Is Chiaotzu alive again?
Yeah, he's just off doing stuff. He, she, it, the pickle. I don't know.
off jumping in onto the backs of people and needlessly explode, like blowing himself up.
Speaking of identifying as a pickle, just so everyone knows, on our Discord channel, Discord does ask for your gender. Our server does classify as pickle. It was a custom write-in. We are pickle. Dead silence. I love it. We're pickle. We're a podcast with dead air.
I mean, I don't know what to say to it.
Just
dead.
We should
air.
Do that in an episode. Just put out a bonus one and just us trying not to talk for an hour. And then at the end, just burst out laughing. It can't, but the best part is it can't. Ball. Well, we can't have our cameras on. We're going to have to do it naked. We're going to have to sit there and know the other one's sitting there naked for an hour and not make a sound.
Kevin, are your nipples cold?
No, we can't make a sound.
Kevin, are your nipples cold?
Wait, would texting be included in that? Yeah, we could text. That's not making a sound as long as our phone's on vibrate. Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We could do that.
Oh, it's not going to be the only thing I have that's going to be on vibrate if I'm going to be naked.
Oh, so Hit was still meditating.
You think Jeffrey Toobin did a bad on Zoom?
Wait, what'd he do?
Oh, you didn't. You must have heard about it. Jeffrey Toobin is like was the writer for The New Yorker, who was on a Zoom meeting talking about their election coverage last year, like how they were going to write about it if Trump or Biden won. And he he pulled his camera down and showed a video of himself masturbating on screen.
Wait, he was doing it live on Zoom?
Yeah.
And he voluntarily moved his camera.
Supposedly he did. He said that I didn't know that they were there. And I'm like, you're still jerking off in a work meeting.
Well, I mean, pants are not required. Batteries are required, though.
Right, but yes, not wearing pants is one thing. Like, jerking off in a work meeting, that's different than not wearing pants.
Okay, true question. Gun to head. If you had a hot boss and you're in a business where you Zoom every day, you had a hot boss, pants are not required, would you jerk off in that Zoom meeting if you didn't have to be on a keyboard? Okay,
no.
You wouldn't. And this is being recorded, so I'm just going to say no comment.
No matter how hot my boss is.
Yes, Mr. Bradley. Yes, Mr. Bradley.
As funny as that image is, no, I would not do that.
Nobody said what sex it had to be.
Oh, I know that. I'm okay with leaving that ambivalent. I'm just saying that I wouldn't, regardless of how, like, ball-drainingly hot my boss is.
They say never dip your pen in company ink. I actually told somebody that, and they did it, and then I just watched the drama unfold, and I was like, do you understand the metaphor now? And this was like a 17-year-old. Like, yeah. Should have listened. Yeah. God damn it, I'm old.
You expect a 17-year-old to take an adult's advice? No.
That's why I left it in a metaphor. If I wanted to tell him what to do, I would have just told him. I would have been like, don't do it. I'm telling you, don't do it. But that's their own life. And metaphor lets you fuck up and then figure out the riddle of it.
Okay, so Vegeta, circling back to the fight, manages to get Cabal angry after saying he'll basically kill everyone and his grandmother. And Kaba goes Super Saiyan, like, actually goes on the offensive.
And Kaba has the exact same fighting stance as Vegeta. Did you catch that? Well, Vegeta said it,
yes,
too.
Yeah, there's like a inside Vegeta's head monologue thingamadoo.
So the match quickly turns into a training match with Vegeta being the sensei. Kappa shocks Vegeta with a Gallic gun, because the initial fighting stance that Kappa had, Kappa, whatever, that he took, Vegeta's like, oh, he even has the same stance as me. And then one of the first moves he did was Gallic gun. As soon as those wrists flipped around or whatever abnormal shit movement that is, Vegeta's like, no, it can't be. That's a Gallic gun. It's like, okay, then do something about it. Quit having an inner monologue. But he shocks him and it results in a draw. So now the training intensifies and they power up.
Yeah, and Vegeta because we weren't sure that Vegeta was going to just obliterate this kid, because Vegeta cares as much about rules as I care about, like, sports. So, yeah, pretty low. So he's like, they're all like, is Vegeta gonna kill Kappa? And then he tells Kappa, never forget about your Saiyan pride, and rage is how you...
Anger is the key to unlocking Super Saiyan.
Yeah, anger is the key to getting to it. Which is very emblematic of Vegeta's approach to fighting and his opposition to Goku going into powering up to Super Saiyan levels.
Just a side note,
so that means
Bulma's tits in this episode look amazing. That was in my notes. I don't know why. It just says, side note, Bulma's tits look amazing in this episode.
Speaking of someone who needs to jerk off before they get on Zoom.
I mean, this was written a couple hours ago. What happened between the note-taking and the Zoom? Is there a quote?
I know, that's what I mean. Well, like, you need to do it before.
I'm not saying I did or
didn't. It.
Anonymity and mystery.
Okay, good.
Make for a great podcast. Anyway, we're not... anonymous? No, we're not. Except for our names are attached to every damn thing online. And we say them in the beginning of every episode. Well, those stage names.
You would say that,
yeah,
well, Cameron.
Of course you believe that, Kevin.
we just go by each other's names just to fuck
God,
with people.
Oh, that'll be fun to edit. I could swap and then each of us be on one side, then swap it back. Oh, that'd be great. So Vegeta stands his ground and reveals the trick of turning Super Saiyan, which he already covered. Which, that's like you said earlier, it's all Vegeta's being like that father-like, except for he's being a little more fatherly.
Understanding with him than he is with his own son.
To put it, for, like, as harsh as can be and as true as can be, that's exactly it. So once he understands that Kida going Super Saiyan and can do it pretty much as he wants, which took Goku in Dragon Ball Z quite a while to do. Vegeta ends the match with a gut shot. And then they kind of talk a little bit, and it's like, okay, well, thanks for teaching me. Oh, yeah, you still going to save my planet? Yeah, of course I will, kid. Here's a nickel.
Go on down to the candy store and get yourself a gumball sarsaparilla Tylenol milkshake.
What? Gumball sarsaparilla Tylenol milkshake.
Tylenol milkshake, yeah. Don't you remember Grandma and Grandpa used to tell us about when they used to get stuff like
Have
that?
Have you ever seen the memes of
down at the
going to school uphill both ways? Did everyone's grandparents grow up in San Francisco? Okay, just making sure.
Yes.
Some people's immigrant grand...
It was a repository for young people back then.
People
who
especially
then
good
old
with
people.
Gunpowder. That's a fact. Yes.
Yes. All right, so with Kaba out of the fight, hit the assassin who dispatched... what was the poison guy's name?
Oh, which one?
The fighter that Hit killed when he was trying to steal the chamber or whatever.
What was his name? Frost. Frost. He was back on
Frost,
the bench.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
I thought he killed
just
him.
Just really whooped his ass. Because he wasn't paid to kill him, so he's not going to. He's just going to mess him up. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Because I understand why he doesn't kill people in the
arena
because it's the rules. So the next episode, 38, starts with Vegeta and Hit starting to fight. Vegeta's in, and we have now officially transitioned from calling this new form not Super Saiyan 4 or Super Saiyan God, but Super Saiyan Blue.
Yep, because they modified it their own way. They did it twice a few episodes ago, and it's like, okay, fine. We're just going to shorten this up.
Yeah, Super Saiyan Blue, SSB, baby. All right, so Hit is revealed to have like this really superior technique of speed and landing blows on Vegeta that he can't see coming. So Vegeta's like always been pretty much mostly raw power. So having someone faster than him is kind of a really smart written way to have him be outmatched and try to catch up with someone who's able to go ahead of his moves and see them coming in advance. And plus, as they've noted, Vegeta has won 3 rounds in a row. So he's on a
the
pretty good hot streak
Saiyan
right
for
here.
The hat trink. Hat trink? Trinkets? He needs a
hat
trinket,
trink,
like the Monopoly piece. Yes.
Yes, or a boot.
Personally, I like the thimble. Yeah. Oh,
filled with gravy.
Filled with gravy. Okay, the good one. I need to do that. Is that the
so
key
that you
to
can
your
drink
luck in the game, though?
When you get thirsty. You know,
gravy fill boot?
No, that's just how I like to drink gravy.
Okay.
How do you drink gravy?
Not out of a gravy boat, but a gravy jet ski.
No, it has to be a gravy boot.
You do it boot. I do it out of a little miniature jet ski. The little jet actually shoots the gravy into the back of my throat.
I'm too much of a traditionalist.
That's
mechanical it's got to be out
swallowing.
Of a boot. Especially
mechanical
a sweaty
swallowing.
One. Yeah, especially a sweaty one that's been worn by someone who weighs
at least
200
no.
pounds. And
you,
works
you
on a construction.
That.
200 pounds of muscle and works on like a construction site.
Okay,
for
you don't want like the
400
pound plumber boot. Okay, good. At least you got a type. No, we don't judge.
Unless it's two of them duct taped together for a double gravy
man.
Shot.
Okay, now you're making me really thirsty. So Vados reveals to Ciampa that she promised Hit a hexahedron if he competed when Ciampa was amazed Hit in regard to his stature, bothered to compete at all. So he's like, why the hell is he even trying to compete? He's not that good. He's not, not the best at anything except for just killing, which I know is against the rules because I spoke on the rules. So Vados kind of said,
And whenever Hit gets the upper hand, he asks the judge, "Hey, judge, killing that guy right now would be against the rules, right?" "Yes." Four, he asks like, that
it seems like
twice.
4 or 5 times. He stops and, "Hey, ref, can I?" "No." "Okay." "Yeah, fuck you, ref. Seriously."
I mean, one of the times it made sense because, like, Vegeta was obviously knocked out by the end of this episode. And he's, like, just telling the ref to make a call.
Yeah. And the ref's like, "Yeah, about that."
He's like, "I guess you're the winner, friend."
And that concludes episode 37. Oh, wait, no. 38. Yeah, you're right. These things are so hard. I'm not good with numbers.
Oh, we have to mention that the way that they sort of diagnose how Hit is going so fast and landing so many like chakra or pinpoint hits on to Vegeta is that he does what the Galactic King calls a time skip. So he's going 1/10 of a second into the future to move faster than Vegeta can anticipate or sense. So no one's able to see how fast he's going. Until he actually just ends up hitting Vegeta.
Everyone turned to, somebody turned to Jocko, was like, "You can't see me." He's like, "No." "Well, what if he turns invisible? Then you would still see his clothes, dumbass."
Yeah, they do a weird Invisible Man reference, which I'm like, oh, I'm sure that the English dubbers loved adding that reference.
So now it's Goku's turn to take it. A hit at Hit. All right. Well, it was. I mean, he tried to land a hit. And Jocko's advice, just pray.
Yeah, so it basically starts off. I actually think this was probably one of the better endings of Super so far, is that Goku got the ability to watch Vegeta try and fail to counter the time skip things. And he manages to think ahead of the 1/10 skips of the way that Hit's technique works. So he actually manages to block and get some blood drawn out of Hit with like a backwards punch and a kick to the chest. So, I mean, I thought that was pretty good, like that he was able to learn that way through it. But obviously, as we see in the next few episodes, beating Hit is not that easy.
No, and even Vegeta did point out, he's like, "Oh, Kakarot took advantage of my mistake in me going first. Now he could build the strategy, and of course he's going to win. Always thinking one step ahead, and he's always one step ahead." Fucking Kakarot, whatever. He just fuels his fire. Just, what is that? Just jealousy.
I mean, Vegeta, you just beat 3 people in a row, okay? Take the W. I mean, even though you got KO'd by
when
Hit.
When did Goku ever beat 3 people in a row like that? That quickly in any tournament? Well, wait. I don't know. Maybe he did it in Dragon Ball when he was a kid. Possibly. I'm sure
he did. There was usually some other bigger storyline happening whenever there was a world tournament. Like, I remember when during like before the Majin Buu saga, I think it's the Babidi saga, when Gohan's fighting like Deborah in the middle of the desert. And what is it? Videl's fighting those huge bald guys in the world tournament that have like the Majin symbol on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, I forget their names, but it's like, oh no, not Videl.
So
they always try to like put characters into stakes where I'm like, oh no,
not sidekick that has about as much reference in surviving this multi-galactical warlord as Yamcha does of even surviving Cell again.
Yeah. So also we should mention that the Hexahedron, which is also how they managed to get to the site of the tournament. I forget what the world
nameless
is that
planet.
They're on. But it would allow Hit the Nameless Planet to go to anywhere as fast as Whis or Vados.
That
does.
Would be a problem.
To other dimensions,
or
even.
Not dimensions,
yeah,
but other universes.
Being
but
an assassin, that would
skip around universes, and he can't be traced, and you can't see it. So how are you ever going to find him or anything like that? He could be bouncing. Plus, his time skip ability. Even if you do find him, you're just dead. He'll wipe out entire universes that way. Well, yeah. No, because no one will pay him. Well, maybe. So Whis reminds Beerus that if Goku loses, we still have the strongest fighter in the universe, Menaka. Great. Didn't see that one coming.
I love that they turn Menaka into Mr. Satan, but pink.
Yeah, and instead of just pointy hair like Kramer, he's got just nipples. Just straight name nipples. Just, I love that little nipple boy. The little nipples.
It's like that children's book. The little nipple boy.
Christmas time, we got to release that and just have like Menaka's face. And then instead of the little drummer boy, just the little nipple boy.
When it is cold, they become perky. When it is warm, they become unperky. You get Bing Crosby
impersonators like, when you don't have anyone to cuddle with on those cold nights, just listen to Menaka and think of his nipples. Oh my God. It'd be a great, it'd be a New York Times bestseller on what is it? Oh God. Yeah, it's a great children's book.
Listing.
Yeah, the little nipples that cuddled by themselves every night.
Oh, I did. So moving into episode 39, I think DB Super got a little bit meta where Hit fakes a power up because he's at his maximum power level. And Goku says to him after he does it, he says, oh, I thought I was the only one that screamed. And I'm like, do you have any self-awareness, Goku?
Vegeta does it.
Like 2/10 of all of Dragon Ball is screaming. It is.
It's either dialogue. Like you've got 70% dialogue, typically. 10% fighting, and then the rest is yelling.
I'd say it's about 15% fighting. It's like 25 to 30% powering up internal dialogue, then actual dialogue takes up about another 20.
So Hit's 1,000 years old.
Yeah, really, that's
really unfair. Surprisingly.
Yeah, true, but Goku holds his own.
That's what Goku is pushing probably. Let's say he's mid-50s. So do the math on that because I don't feel like it. It is insane how much. Just if Goku could live to be 1,000. Yeah. Wait, how many more hair colors is possible?
Dragon Ball Super old.
Dragon Ball elderly. Wait, what's this show about?
Dragon Ball saggy.
Okay, yeah. After that Bulma comment about how great her tits look in this, I don't want to see Dragon Ball elderly. That'll ruin everything for me. I don't want to see it.
Oh, Vegeta, give me a big wet kiss on my dick. Okay. And Master Roshi's still around and old and pervy.
He's like, oh, give it to you, Bulma. Hold on. Nope. I gave it to myself. Where's my diapers?
Gallic gone. All right. So the fight. Somehow. So Hit was he holding off or? Oh no, he said that he had never had to improve his time jump before fighting Goku. So he manages to go from 1/10 of a second to 2/10 of a second, which makes it harder for Goku to be able to counter it. So Goku gets like a pretty significant beatdown after thinking he has the upper hand, and Hit improves his time skip and lands a pretty good gut punch to Goku that makes him look like he's down for the count before he gets back up. Because he's Super Saiyan Blue, too, so Hit's really powerful.
Is it that he's powerful, or is it... Actually, he did... Yeah, I think it was more... Because he had that, like, knuckle up on his hand when he did it. I think it was just the speed and inertia behind him, or momentum, in the right spot. Like, Hit knows how to do. Just drop anybody. It's not necessarily strength.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, and he actually takes his hands out of his pockets to fight Goku.
But he also puts his hands in his pockets a lot during battle. He did with Vegeta.
Yeah, especially during Vegeta, because he's like, you should quit.
Bowed out, pretty much.
And Vegeta, we know Vegeta, it's not going to happen. Yeah, I will say the end of this episode, like where he where Goku manages to fuse Kaioken. I was like, are we ever going to see Kaioken again? Which is the power up technique that King Kai taught him all the way back.
It's an energy focuser, wasn't it? Is what he said it was.
Yeah, it's a power multiplier.
Right, yep.
So speed, strength, energy, but it takes
speed,
a lot more
defense,
energy too.
And energy, yeah.
Right. So he's. Yeah, so using that on top of being Super Saiyan Blue, like basically makes it, and you can see this in the animation, that Goku's body cannot handle it for long periods of time. So what does he say? He's like 5 to 10 times faster than he was before. So he's able to counteract and move quicker than the time skip.
What he did was he says it's an energy multiplier. So when he did it, it just, the base form of Kaioken is a doubler. So he's in Kaioken times two. It'd be Kaioken time, like base form. So it's twice as powerful as Super Saiyan Blue. But in the first few seconds, he just upgrades it to Kaioken times 10. When he did his last big upgrade with Kaioken, this is a real throwback for you. It was when he defeated Vegeta, and he was only Kaioken times 4 in his base form at the time, because he obviously didn't know Super Saiyan. We've come a long way.
Yeah, and we get a flashback to that where Vegeta is thinking back on like how powerful Kaioken was when they first fought each other.
Speaking of old Vegeta, I was watching a YouTube video earlier, and it was kind of a guessing game between anime nerds, and they showed a picture of this one Funko Pop Vegeta from like one of his first appearances where he still had brown hair, and it was like $500.
For a Funko Pop.
Like, I mean, that's just, it's a new wave of Beanie Babies, but they're actually still there. You can get real niche ones. You can open them. You can't, like, some of them are really good, but odds are if you're getting it at Walmart and Meijer or Harris Teeter, whatever, they're not worth collecting. Just open them.
Yeah, it's like how Pokemon cards are a thing again.
I stopped the video before it was the most expensive Pokemon. They showed it and stuff. They showed the card, but I didn't get to the price. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, I was visiting my parents the past few weeks, which is why we haven't recorded, but I was thinking about getting all my old Pokemon cards out of like their basement where I keep a lot of the childhood toy stuff, and I was like, I should have done
actually,
that just to take a look through all of them down memory lane.
Well, yeah, my brother, he's got them.
Who's going to be a father soon?
Right.
Congratulations, Matt.
That's going to be real fun. That's going to be one tough kid coming from a hockey player dad. That's going to be a tough kid. But I wonder, though, you know how small Matt is. He's just like real stretched out. And then look at his wife. That's going to be one skinny motherfucker. He's really going to be
very lanky, more than likely.
He's going to have more mouth on him than muscle, which is how Matt plays hockey.
Hey, you got to make up for your advantages.
Exactly.
You got to get an advantage somehow.
So it won't last long, like he says, without using the time skip. So he can only power it up so much, but the way he's powering up is kind of like a Saiyan does, but faster. The more Saiyan fights, the more experienced and powerful they get, right? It's kind of like a slow delay to it, though. But whereas Hit, the more he's using and focusing that time skip, he's not even having to power it up anymore. It's just doing it by himself, kind of one of those internal power-ups. So he's also a super fast learner on it.
Yeah, so they even comment about how evenly matched Hit and Goku are, and they even play the main theme music after Goku manages to seemingly get the upper hand on Hit before he ups his time skip to like as far as it goes, and then it kind of teeter-totters back between Hit and Goku exchanging blows and energy blasts, and then episode 39 ends with Goku seemingly taking a decisive giant energy blast against Hit, even though we learned at the beginning of episode 40, which is the last one we're recapping for this week, for this episode anyway, that he didn't, he used his time skip to get out of the way of the blast, or how did he exactly dodge it?
It was coming at him and he kind of like didn't dodge it because it was a Kamehameha, wasn't it?
It was blue.
Odds are that
I don't remember him saying Kamehameha.
Let me see here.
Because he almost always says it, doesn't he?
Yep,
before he does it.
It was a Kaioken. I got it written down. It was Kaioken. Yep. Because that's what his go-to
okay.
is. It's Goku's go-to. The go-to of Goku. The go-to
Goku
of Goku.
Go-to. Go-to Goku.
There's the name of his next
Goku
grandson.
Go-to.
Yeah. So, yeah, he kind of, because it's a beam, he didn't dodge it because you can't really get in front of it. So he kind of went like off in front of it, but off center. And then I don't know. It wasn't real clear to me either. Just that's as far as I could keep up with it.
Well, he said in like a bit of dialogue how he managed to evade it because he didn't block it back or anything the way that Vegeta managed to get all of Kaba's energy blasts like sent back, like returned
okay,
to
yeah,
sender.
Yeah, it says right here. So he got the Kamehameha. He goes off center of it. Skips ahead at that point, so he skipped twice, skipped to get ahead of it, and then skipped to get next to Goku, and fires a Counter-Strike blast at him. So that kind of ended
That's
it.
Right.
It was just not a killing blow or something, like a real deadly bad blow, but just enough to stop what you're doing.
Right, so this fight was actually one of my, like, probably my favorite fight of these batch of episodes that we were watching, because the next episode is pretty much just, they do a little bit more fighting for a little bit in the first few minutes of the episode, but then they kind of reach it, the stalemate's kind of reached at that point.
The cats.
And then
the cats
Goku
are out
asks,
of the bag in this one.
Yes. Goku requests that the rules be waived because he sees that Hit is only holding back some of his assassination techniques or like fighting techniques that he would normally be able to use were he not in a tournament where killing is
against
the rules.
He's an assassin who can't kill.
So Chomp and Beerus.
All he knows is lethal techniques, and you're saying, no, you can't use them. Well, you're using them against someone who's literally been fighting for his life in the whole Earth and whole universe for what, the past 2 decades now? Something like that? No, at least a decade because
yeah,
no, two
at
decades.
Least.
Yeah, about 2 decades because since Gohan was a little kid. As soon as Gohan was like four, yeah, when Gohan was 4 years old, that's when Raditz came to kidnap him. So it all started right then. So for about 20 years, Goku's been defending the Earth and the universe.
Are we not including Dragon Ball in that?
We're not including it because I haven't seen all of it.
Oh, okay. He's been defending it for longer, but he hasn't been as powerful
exactly.
defender
yeah.
until
yep.
now. Until then.
So Menaka,
he was defending it from the likes of Emperor Pilaf. The stakes of Dragon Ball
yes,
are considerably
exactly. That's
lower.
That's why I was trying to make sure I kept throwing universe into it because it was. Look, Frieza was already destroying so many different planets, and he obviously showed no more remorse for it. If Cell would have won, he was going to destroy the Earth and then try to continue it on through the universe. So, it's not necessarily galactic. It may not start as a galactic threat, but it definitely always goes to one. So, what I found real funny about this batch of episodes is how many times Menaka will just casually wake up and then pass right back out. Wake up, get stressed about something, pass right back out.
Yeah, and I love Goku's, like, complimenting of him, because when he's like, wow, I can't wait to see Menaka fight. You got this, Menaka. And then Menaka, like, flips into the ring and lands on, like,
so
his head.
The dude's
he's
so
like,
weak,
wow,
he can't even enter the ring properly.
Yeah, he had a good start, like, to a flip, and then he just...
It was really... The look on Beerus's faces, like, the different expressions that he kept having, because his plan for Goku massively, not necessarily backfired, because the toughest guy was pretty much worn down. But it's at the same thing, too. Beerus and Ciampa ended up getting that little bickering match. So that gave Hit and Goku a chance to talk and kind of come to an understanding. Like, they both were the toughest they both had ever faced. And they kind of, yeah, they're like, they this isn't fair. This isn't good enough circumstances. Because Hit's used to killing and Goku's used to defending against killing. So it's kind of super limited.
And they're both, Goku says something about, we're nothing more than just pawns in their game.
Yep.
Referring to Ciampa and Beerus. And so, and we see Goku's body not being able to take on the Kaioken and Super Saiyan Blue forms to be able to sustain it. Like the muscles in his shoulder are starting to like give out, and in his legs. I thought the animation on that was pretty good.
That was some not Quasimodo, but what was that crazy doctor? Mr. Hyde.
Yes.
It was very Jekyll and Hyde-ish.
Yeah, so he's like, well, we can't really get much more out of this because I can't hold it because they're fighting over, oh, you want to lift the rules? You agree to the rules. Ah, the rules. Blah, blah, blah. Screw the rules. I have money. Blah, blah, blah. And so then Goku said, we should do this again sometime when you can try to kill me. All right, bye. And then he like just jumps out of the ring and powers down. The judge names Hit the winner, which means that Menaka's the last fighter. He does that whatever the opposite of graceful is. I can't think of it, like clumsy or whatever the fuck.
Definitely not lands falling on not falling with style, as we learned in Toy Story. This was the opposite of Toy Story. This is what should have happened to Buzz Lightyear every time he tried to fly or glide. This is the result. I'm sorry. I would have wanted to see that. I would pay double or triple the money for a Pixar film to watch a toy who's supposed to fly. And the whole thing is, okay, he's going to fly at some point, and then he just crashes and falls apart in the first 4 minutes of the film. I'd be like, bravo, bravo. I've been waiting for a true kids movie, and this is reality. Thank you, Pixar. Need that triple money. Hollywood needs it.
Triple money.
Hollywood needs it.
Hollywood needs it.
They do. Hashtag Hollyweird. Something like that. I don't know.
So it doesn't take Hit more than like 10 seconds to notice the profuse sweating of Menaka to be like, oh, this is how it is, huh? So Menaka like does like a Popeye thing. He like swings his arms and just runs at Hit.
Jesus Christ, is everything so bad with every single fight? Like, it's like, would you, a person, you don't have, that I'm aware of, any formal combat training, like hand-to-hand or karate or anything like that. So it'd be like you going up to Conor McGregor, all Popeye like that, like, this just, hey, who's filming this? Live stream it. Live stream this. This guy's gonna die.
Or there was that jabroni a few years ago, Jesus, that tried to drop kick, that tried to jump kick Arnold Schwarzenegger. And
I didn't hear about this.
Did you see that?
I did not hear this.
Yeah.
What is this?
Okay. Wait, okay, so Schwarzenegger is just,
it's somebody drop kicking Schwarzenegger?
Well, no, jump kick.
Okay.
It was a jump kick. Schwarzenegger is standing with his back to this guy. The guy like does a running thing and tries to kick him. Schwarzenegger like kind of brushes it off, but then just turns around like, huh, who just tapped me on the shoulder?
Okay, now I gotta see this. Oh my god. Okay, thank you, YouTube. I can go backward.
Yeah, it's from May 2019.
Christ. Why would you think to do that? Why would anyone want to do that? Hey, there's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Hey, watch this, ma. Hold my beer, Brad. You want to fucking dropkick this bitch? And in the back. Oh my, just. Different angle.
And he only kind of just lurches forward because he's.
He does. He only kind of, like, his chest went forward about 8 inches. That dude is still a rock. Because you got, like, I'm going to say that guy who kicked him was about 165 pounds, 175 pushing it.
Okay, so it was a drop kick.
Arnold didn't move much. It's right? Terminator star Arnold Schwarzenegger struck by flying kick.
Yeah, flying kick.
Wow.
This is pretty weak.
Do you think that guy was just trying to go viral?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because now we're trying. Now I just gave the exact link to it. Let's. Okay. Now we're going to see how many views it is. 49,000.
I'm sure there's more of it. It's probably on like Twitter or a video going through there. But this guy's internet famous now. So what do I know?
Is he internet famous or did Arnold make sure he's so broke he's in jail? Because you know Arnold had him arrested or like it looks like people are dragging him out by his ankles. Like, shit be real. So, Hit, being the winner for his universe, goes back to his bench, and he is like, don't worry about the hexahedron. I don't want it. I just want to go home. Ciampa goes off and is about to kill everyone on the bench, which is still technically right, isn't it?
What's right?
Like, they still lost. Ciampa tried to kill everybody on the bench.
He said that he was
going
to kill everyone on the bench if they lost, right?
Yeah. And Hit just, as soon as Hit gets on the bench, he's like, don't worry about the hexahedron, Naomi. Like, your whole universe lost. You all knew, like, what was at stake, right?
Was it if he beat Goku or if he won the tournament?
Won the tournament?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
It wasn't about beating Goku. It wasn't about beating Goku.
He couldn't beat Minaka, though.
It was about winning the tournament because Ciampa thought that Goku and Vegeta were weak as shit. He thought they were Minaka.
I mean, Minaka was the one that knocked Hit out of the ring.
So we conclude this batch of episodes and our own episode with Vardo's trying to get Ciampa's attention. And Beerus,
Coors
Light, some of that
Keystone
will be in the next episode.
Budweiser, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
You're gonna have to set up a PO. You're gonna have to set up a PO box down there in Kentucky, and that way people can actually. Can you mail?
Yeah.
Alcohol.
You can order it.
Well, I didn't know with some of your prohibition laws. That's true. Well, even just send us like a Walmart gift card to a PO box.
Yeah, and we will be beered. Beer
us.
We'll
release at a later
date. And we will
be
beered while we record the show.
Speaking of beer and tall boys, this episode concludes with the camera kind of slowly panning over and then going up. A semi kind of formal looking, but then again, who knows in this universe of Dragon Ball, goes up and not very far to reveal a big oval headed purple skinned dude flanked by two tall boys that look like kind of guards. And all that said is,
well, better than Grand Xenophobia.
Grand
Xenophobia. Whatever.
And then credits. Yeah, there was a lot of people that looked a little xenophobic there. So we're going to leave that next episode on the cliffhanger. Who is this little guy? Because you already had... Oh, we can't forget. Because how many different ranks do we have at this? Okay, we've got the Kais. We've got the Supreme Pervert. Then you got the Octopus. Okay, so after Goku... after the fight's all done and shit, Goku goes over to the Grand Octopus, the Galactic King.
When he shakes the dude's dick.
And he's like, thank you so much. Yes. Yes. Yeah. He's like, thank you so much for telling me about the time skip. And he goes to be nice and shake his hand. And Jocko's eyes get all huge. And the octopus is looking all like shy and with the devilish look. He's not even looking at anything. He's got his fucking eyes closed. And he's like, what? I don't get it. And Jocko's like right in Goku's face. And
sensitive organ.
The Galactic King goes, that's a highly sensitive organ. Oh my God. And it just like
you
a drone
just jerked
shot looking
me
down.
Off,
like,
Goku.
Oh, yeah, well, here it is. Okay. And he's like, I see why.
I wish he had said
just
that.
Just gets along with everybody. Just yanking on dicks around here. Just yanking on dicks. I got like 9 more. You want to reach one, big boy? So with that said, in that cliffhanger, we'll catch you guys next episode. Like I said, we should be on Discord. Well, it'd be nice to know where to find it. The handle on Discord's Wild Wasteland 2020.
Yes, and so next time we'll be under that. Covering the latter half of this A, B, or two-part saga, in which we find out who Grand Zeno is and see the... Hold on, gotta go up. Yeah, so we've finished the Universe 6 saga, but now we're moving into what they call the duplicate Vegeta one.
I thought this was the duplicate Vegeta because they had so much alike, and even Kappa said, oh, I got to introduce you to the king.
I don't know. That's
remind
what
me
Wikipedia
so much of
says.
Him, and you're so proud just like him. Okay. Because that, Wikipedia. Hey, can you find out where Hunter Biden gets his cocaine from on Wikipedia?
Hunter Biden, friend of the show.
Just making sure. Big friend. Thank you so much.
Mean,
he delivers. He's my weekly
anyone
coke dealer.
Anyone who gets a foot job on camera is my friend.
Yeah, how
did
is
you
he
see
not
that
our
video?
Friend? Why haven't we had him on this fucking show?
Did you see that
this whole time,
Kevin? Did you?
Nobody else is listening to him.
Kevin, did you see that?
He needs
video?
Attention. Nobody else is giving it to him. We wouldn't even have to pay him to be on him.
No, those what were band-aids on Cuomo.
Did he get his nipples pierced like Cuomo?
No, they were. They really weren't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Fresh piercings.
I don't know.
Why
he
would
did.
You have band-aids on both nipples?
Well, I guess if he's like sensitive to the fabric or whatever, like maybe it could irritate it.
Just make sure. Oh yeah, like the women with the breastfeeding, they get those irritated.
Yeah, that's
a
way to
too.
Compare
like
it.
Carmex, but for your
but
nipples.
Did you see that
it's
video of Hunter Biden getting jerked off with someone's
it's
feet?
It's very viscous. It's quite viscous.
I wish. No. Apparently it's from like the laptop
no,
that they were like,
Patreon?
Oh, it proves that Joe Biden's corrupt. And it's like, no, it's just Hunter Biden's got a huge dick and he's getting jerked, like his feet, like someone's feet are jerking him off in a hotel room.
That's what people with big dicks do. They do sexual.
And then I think
dicks
he smoked crack in
stuff.
I don't remember. Sexually. I didn't watch the whole thing. But
and then they put it on a laptop. Oh, he definitely smoked crack.
Lil Wayne smokes
he's
crack.
Out, he's
I thought
in
he was
there
strictly
with Lil
a weed
Wayne
guy.
Fucking smoking up some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, he's a weed guy.
He's a rapper, isn't he, Lil Wayne? Yeah, big crack
guy. I mean, industry's
guy.
Usually more just weed and coke than
industry
crack.
Standard crack guy. I haven't heard many rappers on
I thought
coke, but DMX
I thought
died
DMX
of
died from heroin.
Crack. DMX died of crack.
I know. Well, same category, but different.
Isn't that the same category?
Heroin is chemically similar to an opioid. So you when like all those stories of like.
Oh, heroin. Heroin's
yes.
a derivative
so
of morphine,
when
and
people,
morphine
like,
is
say, you
opioid-based.
Worked in a manufacturing job and dislocated your shoulder when they used to just hand out prescriptions for opioids like candy, you would get addicted to that, and then when you're, because it's a controlled substance, when that ran out, a lot of people would go out and buy heroin because it's chemically similar and produces a similar high to opioids. But the problem with people overdosing is that a lot of dealers who are selling to people who have been addicted to opioids use the synthetic opioid called fentanyl to cut it with, which is like
Fentanyl is an opioid patch. They give it to cancer patients. It's kind of like a nicotine patch.
Right, but fentanyl is way, way stronger than heroin
into your system through your bloodstream.
So they cut things with fentanyl to make more money so that they can make their drug stronger and addict more people who are already addicted to opioids. Because it's harder to get...
Yep, and Altram, also called Tramadol, is... another drug that they, especially the VA, I want people to know this too, they hand out like candy. Oh, do you, one of the first questions you get asked before any appointment is, what's your pain level? And if it's over like a 4 or 5, are you on any, hold on, let me check your file. Oh, you're not on anything yet. Would you like some Altrams? It's like, lady, I just have a headache. Yeah, would you like some Altram for that? 30-day supply. Bitch, do you know what that is? That's an opiate. Oh, no, it's synthetic. It's totally okay. That's how it starts.
Okay, you're
right. Needs a gateway drug. Here's our own government. Take this. It's okay. That's how heroin started here in World War II or World War I. Here, oh, we just cut your leg off. Here, have some morphine.
It says the DMX
became addicted to crack
by his own admission when he was 14 years old. After his friend, Reddy Ron, tricked him into smoking like a spliff. Laced with the drug. So then, yeah, that's often laced with either marijuana and tobacco mixed together or with other substances mixed in to make the high go through. I'm not trying to speak ill of the dead. I don't want to speak ill of the dead. It says drug overdose, and it looks like it was organ failure. It doesn't say exactly what drug he was on, but I know that he unfortunately had a lot of struggles going in and out of recovery. Like, I mean, his whole song Slipping is all about that.
All right. Yeah, he consider the context of that what was just said.
Either way, we still miss you, decide. DMX. You were a big part
audience, whatever.
Of my early teens. I remember Cradle to the Grave. I'll forgive you for that, for the soundtrack.
So we can nothing gets you fired up more.
However, he was good in Romeo Must Die. That is good.
Than DMX. Any of them. This is very true. So, we're not going to dedicate this to DMX. Not dedicate this episode to DMX, but we're going to dedicate. You see, you can't even say it right. I just miss the guy so much. We're going to dedicate this episode to the thought of DMX. Just the thought of him.
Wait, why a dog bark?
A dog barking in there somewhere. So anyway, until next time. Which will be
oh,
a fun
that's right.
One. Oh, it's DMX.
I thought you were talking about. I thought you were talking
Jesus
about the false
Christ,
allegations
man.
That he like abused his dog
because wow.
People harped on that after his death.
No,
that's Michael
that
Vick.
Was,
that's the football player. He ran
yeah,
a dog fighting ring.
Wasn't it some?
Oh, he definitely did it.
It was definitely that guy. So to the thought of DMX,
Oh, okay, so before
we'll catch
that,
you guys
I wanted,
next time.
Because you say I'm smart, I like to make things accurate. So what I thought you were referring to was in January 2002, he pleaded guilty in New Jersey to 13 counts of animal cruelty, 2 counts of maintaining a nuisance, and 1 count of disorderly conduct. He plea bargained down to fines, probation, and community service, and then appeared in... a public service announcement against animal cruelty. So I don't know exactly whether he did that or not, but just context. I thought you were talking about the animal cruelty. Yeah, that's DMX.
That was DMX?
No. Michael Vick totally did
Holy
it.
Holy shit.
Also
I thought you were just sitting there
going back
Michael
to the
Vick
NFL
again,
because
to keep that alive.
Fuck the NFL. Yeah. He's just so good at dribbling and throwing and passing. We don't need him to be a good person.
Jesus. It's just getting so bad. And this is
You just need one hope of a future career.
Just one hope. This is just one stupid sport. Just fall down and look crazy all the time. Like you're
Yeah, he got to play for another, let's see, like
you get a contract.
8 or 9 seasons, and now he's the coach of the Atlanta Legends. Or the an advisor to the Atlanta Legends.
Jesus.
Hooray!
Become a player in a sport and crime evades you.
I mean,
that's the advice of
the day. I'm not against you catching a charge for drug possession. Who gives a fuck? Or if you're carrying a gun, Second Amendment. But
aim high.
Like abusing animals that, or like beating the shit out of your partner, or like, you know, like violent crimes, that sort of stuff. Like, you know, there's got to be a line. I don't know how we got onto this because we talk about Dragon Ball Super, but.
Yeah, and there definitely is a line.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, and we need to get off this. So anyway, let's end this. Oh, before we start hearing pit bulls barking in the middle of the night. I like pit bulls.
They're misunderstood and cute.
Places they shouldn't be. You get a weird feeling.
Yes, people have very bad, wrong, misinformed opinions about pit bulls. We are a pit bull friendly show.
So anyway, be nice to pit bulls.
They're not as mean as people are.
Be nice to pit bulls. Very pit bull friendly. We'll take some adoptions.
You can beer us and
donate
a house.
We'll take some donated pit bulls.
And with that, we will see you next time on the Duplicate Vegeta Saga.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, with the duplicate, and this is Cameron.
This is Kevin.
Discord or
catch you next time, guys. We'll see you on Discord and such. We'll link that all stuff. Well, actually, I can say this. I can say this for the first time. It's all in the doobly doos down below in the description of this episode. I'm going to put all that crap in there. Click it, subscribe, like, hate us. I don't care. Just leave a comment. We're on iTunes. Like us, comment, put us on the charts, even if
I mean,
like,
that's what my mom said when she reviewed
hey, listen
the
to these
show.
Two fucking idiots. I don't care. At least you listened. When that said.
No, but she said it. She yelled
it. Oh, exactly.
It. She yelled it to me.
Did you leave a review? And that's the problem.
I'm Cameron.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay,
bye-bye.
So I'm Kevin. And we'll catch you guys next time. All right, bye.